Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord that He is. This is a wonderful day that the Lord has made. Today is Wednesday, August the 10th, 2022. Yesterday's broadcast was called Ear Power. And Monday's broadcast was called Tongue Power. Today, the Lord didn't give me a title yet, but He will, and it'll be next to ear power, whatever He gives. And I want to, the Lord put a few things on my heart, similar to what was talked about yesterday. It's how the position we take in life, it adds up. This is why it's so important to do precisely what Jesus said. The healing process begins with Jesus. Before we knew Him as a Savior, became flesh, which is Jesus, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among men. All right. What did He teach? The first thing He taught men once He began His ministry was the Beatitudes. There's an overcoming healing process in that. When you do unto others as you have them do unto you, it is a healing way of life. And the healing that's in salvation, it gets on the outside of you and it branches out to other people. Now, we don't produce branches, we produce fruit. People hear the word and they become branches. They become part of the body of Christ. I'm a branch in the body of Christ and I bear fruit. And the fruit that I bear is the fruits of the Spirit. I share the love of God. The healing process of salvation is in me, and it comes out in my mannerisms, my daily routine, my voice, my words. Then there are the specifics, the anointing, the assignments that God give you to do. Those are fruits. Now, they don't make people change their mind. They don't make people do better or worse. But it's a presentation of life to others. If they receive it, the healing process will extend to them. They'll be saved and they'll partake of the fruit. They'll see the way to go and the difference that it makes and how much better it is. See, God don't brainwash people and He don't force people into something. When we train up our children in the way that they should go, we set boundaries. We give them a bedtime or a get up time. You know, they got to get ready for school or whatever. They can't just stay in the bed all day. We set them up with rules and boundaries. We teach them, we train them so that they can be productive citizens and live a good life. We've been there and done that. We know how they feel at every stage of their life. We've been there and done that. And what was real to them was once real to us. And we know how to counter what the enemy is doing. And so does the devil. He's trying to figure out how to counter us. And he's trying to get bad information, poisonous information, even brainwashing to your children, to you, your wife, your parents, and everybody on earth. Brainwashing is not something God does. You're forcing people, you're trying to either bully people into your will or take away their identity and give them yours. By force. The Lord's ways are true and pure, and the created personality that you have will be thoroughly enhanced as you receive God's word and live it. There's no brainwashing, there's no coercing, none of that comes from God. The Lord presents us with life. And they who choose life, he'll work with them. And you can show a person what's dangerous. And you can give them warning. When they're going down the wrong road, you can say something. Because open rebuke is better than secret love. Now, of course, you got to be governed by the Holy Spirit. And that's where a lot of people miss it. They try to do it in them out of their mind, out of their strength. But a wholesome conversation with the Lord about your friends and your children and your parents or your spouse, let the Lord give you guidance. And then he'll show you when to say what and when to let go. And all of that is important. A proud man, the Proverbs warns us about trying to correct a proud man. You're going to get a rebuke. When people get their hard heart, when their heart is hard against the truth, and you speak it, they'll provoke against God. So they're going to react against you. And the Holy Spirit knows this. He knows how to handle every situation. I said yesterday, if people won't change, if they want to go another route, and you love, remember, the kingdom of God is a kingdom. You're under the authority of God by choice. By choice. Nobody makes you do anything. Not even God, not the Holy Spirit. He empowers you to do the will of God at your will. People say the Holy Spirit will make you strong. He'll make you do this. He enables you to do the things of God in power. He don't make you do anything. You can sin if you want to sin. And then there's consequences. But everything of God is done by love. I'm so glad that Ray Wilson's taught that. He taught us that we don't bear branches, we bear fruit. Oh, that was so good. You learn so many things in Sunday. That's why, see, people miss out when they don't get up early and go to Sunday school. Especially if you got good teachers. If you stop going, they'll quit teaching. God will send them somewhere else. But if people will go and utilize what God has given, then they'll stay and they'll teach and you'll learn and you'll grow. And I've heard, and you know, I love modern technology because everything I'm talking about, you can go back and listen to it. I got one problem with my website. There are so many files, so many Sunday school lessons. And I did them by date. And some of them I want to listen to again, but I don't know how to find it. I have to listen to all of them to know what was said when. But I promise you this, all of them are good. All of them are. And things were said that people need. But anyway, beyond that, God loves us. He presents us with the truth. We receive it or we reject it. And people receive it or reject it based on something that they're after. What is their focus? One day I said, I want to know God. I want to know his will and his ways. I didn't just want to get saved and hooray, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. No, I want to know the Lord. First thing I wanted to know was, what did he expect out of me? Because I've been around Christians all my life. I went to church from the time I was an arm baby. And I know what people do. Sometimes there are those people that just love everybody. They love God. They love man. They're the same everywhere they go. Then you got some that they're one way around church, another way at home, another way with their parents, another way with their grandparents, another way with their friends. And I said, man, when I was a kid, you know, I didn't understand that some people are Christians while some people still love the world. And they say the right things, but they really love the world. And they do what the world is doing. And especially children. Not the younger ones, but when they start getting older, adolescent, they learn to be the way that, you know, they're influenced by peers. People used to always talk about peer pressure. That's a trick of the devil. See, the enemy controls society this way. He tempts people to fear inwardly what society believes collectively. So, you know the standards and ways of God. But if you don't do these things and think this way, people are going to laugh at you. They're going to look down on you. The concept of standing up for Jesus and doing what's right from a child standpoint Now, some children pull it off. A lot of them are followers. Many children are followers. They're not taught to be leaders. And that's the parents' job, to teach them to be leaders. My pastor taught his children to be the bull of the woods. The bull of the woods, you know, the bull of the woods, that's the one that everybody looks to. But nevertheless, that's where the peer pressure comes from. If you don't do it this way, you're an outcast. You know, you just a punk. You weak. If you don't try this, you chicken. Well, pastor taught his children, no, I don't do that. I do it God's way. And they stood up for what's right. And see, when you do that, Satan has no covenant with God. But when you stand for the Lord because you love him and you believe him, then heaven backs you and you become the bull of the woods. Nobody can tear you down. You're progressive. You're the person that others want to be like, and not the satanic guy. I'm not saying that he's a Satan worshiper, but see, all you have to be, you know, when I use the word satanic or like Satan, he's the alternative of God. You don't have to be a Satan worshiper to be satanic. All you have to do is have a proud mind and a big mouth. All you have to do is be seduced into something. When you don't obey the principles of God, don't you understand that's satanic? When you take the weak position, that's satanic. When you do it your way instead of God's way, that's satanic too. Huh? Because God's ways is life, and it's the healing process of life in you. But when you resist it and do something else, you took the alternative route. There is no, you know, there's not an angelic route and then a satanic route. There's God's way or Satan's way. The middle ground is Satan's way. Now, just because God has mercy on us till we grow up, don't give you the liberty to attach yourself to worldly things and then everything's going to just work out. No. When you take the weak disposition, and that's the disadvantaged position, you're not doing the word of God. You're doing it man's way. You're doing it the way of the world. You're being pulled away from kingdom thoughts, where the healing process is. And you're getting over into the worldly way. And you become normal. Or Satan's version of normal, which is not supposed to be anyway. Sin shouldn't even exist in God's kingdom. He didn't make it. He didn't want it here. And he's doing something to get rid of it. From the time he said, let there be light, he's showing you he's getting rid of this trash. The trashy way, the satanic way. All of it's going to be gone and wiped away from his kingdom. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. No more discord, no more envy, no more strife, no more pride, no more devil, and no more satanically charged people. No more worldly mindsets. No more thieves. One day people are going to forget that we used to make locks and keys. Because there won't be any sin. It's going to be wonderful. People are going to look for an evil man and will not be able to find one. How about that? Because there's no room for sin in God's kingdom. What is sin? It's many things. It's the alternative. The negative choices. I said, Lord, I wanted a pinpoint answer. You know, I didn't know to call it a pinpoint. That's what I was wanting, a pinpoint answer. The first time this was last week, I asked him what his definition of sin. I never done that before. But I wanted to see what he was going to say. And it's like living. It's destructive, of course it is. It destroys your desires for the things of God. Takes away your appetite for truth. And replace it with a rebellious desire of ignorance. Did you know when people are ignorant, that's a choice. And it's in the root word, Ignorant is to ignore something. You see the truth over there, but you ignore. You see the fruit that's being born, that people are bearing, and you ignore it. You turn your head. When they stoned Stephen, they closed their ears so they couldn't hear his piercing words. The fruit, he was bearing so much fruit, and he was so dedicated. They couldn't take it. They closed their ears while others stoned. They wouldn't change. They wouldn't repent. That's also unbelief. Unbelief is a lot like ignorance. Ignorance, you're trying not to learn. Unbelief is when you see the glories of God over there, you refuse to believe it and partake of it. When you see the handiwork of God, you harden your heart, you get angry, you might even shake, and you refuse to believe and receive what God is doing, just like the Pharisees. Now you understand why God drove the Israelites out of Israel. He was driving out the demonic Canaanites to put his people there. Then when they went demonic and satanic, he drove them out. And then when they had religious leaders rise up after the 70 years, they began to go back to Israel. And they were always under persecution because they were so rebellious. If they had gotten in league with God, God would have drove out the Romans. But see, God's not going to supplant a people that's godly. He's not going to supplant them. But when they became demonic, he put others over them. Because, see, if the Romans didn't come, it was good that the Romans came and taxed Israel just like they did. Because the Romans had more sense than they did. And I'm not anti-Semitic. When people go demonic, they need somebody over them. Because they'll trash everything. They didn't have full power. They wanted to crucify Christ. But they had to get permission from Rome. See, they couldn't do it at their will. They were worse than the Romans. You know, when they ended up in Pilate's court, he wanted to let Jesus go and keep the peace with these folks. But they were demonically charged. They were satanically charged. Roman was the lesser evil. They had become so bitter. They had a bitter evil in them. Not all of them, because see, remember this rule. This is something that have always been from the beginning. There are somebody from every kindred, tongue, and nation that will love Jesus. Even Jesus said it. He said it this way in Luke chapter 10 when he was rebuking Chorazin, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. He said that if the works that was done in these evil cities that was done in this city, they would have got saved a long time ago. But that was always, see, God couldn't raise them up. He couldn't raise them up yet because he had to get rid of the influence of Satan first. Because, see, all of the attacks of the enemy is always against Jesus and those who would love God. In every war that ever was, either the Lord had to raise up people to destroy and judge the wicked, because the wicked would always destroy those that lived a godly life, those that just wanted to live. A tyrant would always raise up and take them into captivity and then make harden people's hearts so nobody would believe on Christ when the Savior comes. Satan didn't know when he was coming. He always did this. See, Satan didn't know what he didn't know. He always thought that Jesus was somebody else. He didn't know where he was coming from. He thought it was different people. He used Cain when he thought it was Abel. He thought it was Moses. He thought it was others. He thought it was David. Saul tried to javelin David twice. I mean, he was bitter against him. and Satan charged Saul against Satan. He went David hunting. Satan thought that David was the seed of woman, especially when he killed his giant. See, Satan ain't perfect. He was guessing, like he always does, and so are the people who follow him. They're sloppy. He's not as perfect as he make himself out to look. Okay, this is Luke. Here it is. Verse 12. He gave his disciples instruction. He said, verse 10 says, but into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaves on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. See, open rebuke is better than secret love, and the Holy Spirit will show you how to do that. Verse 12, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day Sodom than for that city. I'll read that again. I got interrupted. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Now watch this now. Watch. He ain't done yet. Verse 14. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon after judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. Now that's what Jesus said to the 70. There's always a remnant in every tribe, nation, tongue, and kindred. There's somebody related to everybody on earth that will always follow God. See, the Lord, we're going to find out how God did all this. How he saved people, Gentile people. And I'm not talking about after Jesus died for us all. I'm talking about before. All the families that would have loved to know Jesus. See, God knew this. This is why Jesus went down to the grave. He went to Abraham's bosom and preached to them. See, God is perfect in his ways. And they that believed, they went to heaven. And they that didn't, they went on to hell. See, God got a way that you can't get around. He got this. Every person, everywhere. If they can be saved, the Lord's going to raise up laborers to help reap the harvest. Now, this is why we need laborers. Some people will get saved. They want salvation, and they know they want it. If they hear the truth, they'll receive it, and they'll come. And the Lord knows this. So he raised up laborers. But some people, they won't get saved unless they see other people saved. Some people will change if they see others. God will become real to them if they see people living according to the love of God. And so, this is why we must do our job. Every minister must obey God. Pastor Jackson used to teach that. There are people assigned to your life. Your anointing has a jurisdiction. And you need to go and do the things of God. You need to go and partake of the living things of God. You need to do these things. Every minister everywhere need to be busy doing it God's way. In Jesus' face, in the prayer room, learning how to do it even better. Learning to be connected to the head. See, everyday events, your words, your routine, it adds up into something. Whether it's satanically charged or whether it's Jesus charged. Now, I gave analogies about how marriages are blessed and they come to an end. I showed illustrations when I did tongue power and also ear power. Now, one thing the Lord put on my heart, some people, they're in a routine and neither one of them. I talked about the wife first and the husband on the next one. I gave analogies about when people are difficult to deal with. First the wife. Because people have more sympathy for women. And I want you to have sympathy for the people See, that's doing the wrong thing. Why? Because they're trapped into it. They're trapped in a mentality that can't work for them. And God loves their soul. But they do ignorant things. They do the wrong things. They don't listen to Jesus. And then they tear up their life. And it started with how there's, Proverbs 14:1. There's a wise woman that builds her house and a foolish woman that tears it down with her hands. Now, they don't mean to, but their habit systems did. And their ways are dead. And they're living off false patterns. It says, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. It didn't say she was evil, it says she was foolish. A brat. Now, they might be a Christian, but they're always thinking about their focus is on what they want only, and they don't see where it's going. They don't see how it's hurting anything. They spoil. And whatever she do, she's doing it before her daughters. And what she's doing will be the pattern of what their daughters do unless they hear the word and overlook her and look at Jesus. And that's what every child must do. The mistakes that your parents made, look at Jesus and supersede what your parents did that was wrong. And thank God for what they did that was right. If they're lazy, don't be lazy, because laziness don't work. If they're rude, don't be rude, because being rude don't work. And all those rude words add up into something that you really don't want. And when everything goes south, the divorce is done, the children are scattered, now the problems is worse. Then there are new marriages, and they don't know what to think of these adults that they got to deal with. And then they're scared to get married. And then they're going to just shack up with somebody. And now it's much worse. You might not have any grandchildren in heaven. You see where this goes? That's where a bad attitude will take you. And then the man, he's looking over his shoulder, ignoring his good wife, like I talked about in the other. It adds up and turns into something. And if it's satanically charged, you'll have a satanically charged life. Or you can do what Jesus said in the Beatitudes. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you love her, men, as Jesus loved you, just like Peter taught, 1 Peter, every marriage need to be studied in 1 Peter as a way of life. Every marriage, every relationship, for the sake of every relationship you got, that's the model. 1 Peter is the model. 1 Peter is the model for every relationship, whether it's children to parents, parents to children, couples, friends. A healthy research of 1 Peter will establish every relationship. Because he shows you the rewards of loving others like Jesus loved you with unfeigned love. Not that fake love, but real love. I really love you. And see, if love will fulfill that hard stone law, that mountainous law, the law is like a mountain you can't climb. But if you love like Jesus loves, you fulfill it. So if you can carry the love of Jesus in your relationship and bear fruit in your relationship, and the fruit that you bear will add up into Jesus being formed in your spouse and your children and their children and then in their children. And you'll have many grandchildren in heaven while others don't. They lost their children with that because they wouldn't change their ways. This is a reality. If you go to hell and then you see your children fall in hell and then you see your grandchildren fall, that's bad. Why did God do this? And they still don't get it. But they know. See, when you die, your spirit man remembers everything. It don't have to channel through the brain anymore. The brain cuts on and off and you forget stuff. The spirit don't do that. You remember every detail of your life. And if you go to hell, you remember every sin you did. And you're being punished for it. You're paying for it. You didn't trust Jesus to ransom you out of it and pay for it. He already paid for it. But now You didn't trust him to pay for it. Now you're paying for it. That's what happens when people go to hell. Not you, but that's what happens to people that are down there. And then they know that the attitude standard that they set caused all this. It contributed to it. Wouldn't take them to church. Wouldn't learn. Scoffed at the pastor. It just turned into something. It don't just stop right there. It's not over yet. Not by a long shot. And neither is the fruit that you bear. So it's worth it to fight the good fight. Now, when people discourage each other like that, and they just stay together, and one is always nitpicking negative words, it gets on the other one, or can, then there's more negative words. And people actually can lose their will to live. They really love their wife, but they're not happy. They wish Jesus would come and rapture the church. And they wish they could just, they don't even care if they die. That's what a bad attitude can do. That's what wrong information will do. And then there's nobody to talk to because everybody else look like they're doing fine. But a lot of people, they, sometimes churches are focused on one thing, doing, you know, building a ministry or things like that. But you can't forget the people that are there. Are they healthy? What are they going through? They need, people need to, some things need to be addressed from the pulpit. It's just how it is. People don't know, you know, as I went in God's presence and learned how to fight and resist the devil, he trained me about things. You don't have to put up with Satan. And the preachers that I deal with, they teach these things. But also, there's a lot of dynamics that we could be learning as a body. But what are people focused on? They're focused on usually building a ministry, getting numbers in. See, the pastor's anointing does what Jesus did. It's more, the model of a pastor's ministry is more like what Jesus taught. The details of how to live.